on Kuf Yod Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the bottom. Line begins Me'eis Hashem. We were talking about Adas Korach. The Mishnah had said that Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba, and then we had the other opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, who said that they do have a Chelik Olam Haba, murdered Sheol Vayal, they wish to brought them down to Gehenna, but then we'll eventually bring them back up. And we discussed, we learned yesterday about a number of details about what happened with the story there. So now continuing, Amar Rabbi, my dichtiv, what does it mean a pasuk in Habakkuk? It's an after for the second day Shavuos. Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zvula. The sun and the moon stood in Zvul. Hello? We just got started. Zvul is the name, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga that there are 7 levels of the heavens, and one of them is called Zvul. But that's not the normal. My mind's on the bottom. So Zvul is one of the 7 heavens, but it's not the one where the sun and moon are usually located. Usually the Gemara mentions that they're located in the one called Rakia, I think. So Zvul is several levels higher. But the pasuk says, Shemesh Yireach Omad Zvula, the sun and the moon stood in Zvul. La'or Chitzecha Yahalechu, they go by the light of your arrows. What does this mean? This teaches us that the sun and moon left their usual place and went up to Zvul, went up several levels in Shemaim, to complain. They say to the Eibishter, if you're going to stick up for Ben Amram, meaning Moshe, against Korach and his group, and the Poroshim say, what makes us say particularly that this pasuk refers to that time is because of a previous pasuk in that capital mentions Tivaka Oret, you'll burst open the ground, which therefore associates very well with the story of Korach. So the sun and the moon are complaining. If you're going to stick up, if you're going to execute judgment on behalf of Ben Amram, on behalf of Moshe, Naseh, then we will go out and light up the world as we usually do.
We execute judgment.
In other words, like this, you have Korach and his group are arguing against Moshe, Kol Eidah, Kol Kedoshim, Madurat Nasu, etc., etc. So the sun and moon are complaining to Hashem, are arguing to Hashem. If you're going to stick up for Moshe, good, then we'll go out and light up the world like we're supposed to. Vimlav loy Naseh, and if not, then we're not going out. So that's Shemesh Yireach Omad Zvula. They went up to Zvul from their normal place in Rakia to complain to the Eidishter. And Marsha says, why particularly Zvul? Is because the Gemara in Chagiga that mentions what each of the Rakiim, what's accomplished in each of the Rakiim, is that Zvul is where there's the Beis HaMikdash Shalamayla, that's connected to the Beis HaMikdash Shalamata, and there Michal stands and offers Karbanos. So therefore, it parallels the Mishkan down here on earth, where Aaron is bringing Karbanos. Where Aaron and his sons are bringing Korbanos, which is what Korach and his group are arguing against.
What is their business to complain about?
Okay, so one of the there's a number of answers among the Mepharshim. One straightforward one is they're saying the whole world was created only for the sake of the Torah. Korach and his group are arguing against the Torah. They're arguing that Moshe that everybody heard equally from the Eibishter. Therefore, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mean anything more than anybody else's. So why should we? If you don't stick up for Moshe, why should we bother lighting up the world? And there's no reason for the world to exist in the first place.
They're giving advice to the Eibishter.
Okay, they're complaining. Ad shezorach behem chitzim until. But, so that's exactly it. So the Eidishter then had to shoot arrows at them, Kaviyachol, to say, like, get back to your place and do your job. On the one hand, he said to them, what is this? You're not protesting like that when my covenant is at stake. Namely, so Rashi says, you have the kings and people all over the world, we learned earlier in the Perek, they put their crowns on their heads and go and bow down to the sun. You never thought to complain about that. Now, all of a sudden, when a boss of a dumb, when Moshe's covered, is at stake, all of a sudden you're complaining.
Who was bowing down the...
The Goyim. You have Goyim all over the world who worship the sun, yeah. The Yad Ramah, I think, says it's
referring...
That's the point. The Eibishter is saying, why didn't you protest all these thousands of years when people have been worshiping you as Avodah Zarah? Or... The point is that these people are disobeying the Eidishter. They're putting down the Eidishter by worshiping the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon never complained about it. Why all of a sudden are they complaining when Moshe's covered is at stake?
Is that a shame?
What do you mean? They're a shame, right?
They're obvious.
No, it's not so obvious that, they're to show him, but they're going against the Ebishter. You have Korach and his group are going against Moshe. Why is going against the Ebishter not as important to the sun and moon as going against Moshe?
And these people are doing Avodah Zarah. Korach was not.
Yeah. And then there's a different explanation also that I think from the Yad Ramah that says that the Ebishter is telling them, what about the Chet Ego? You didn't think to protest then. Why all of a sudden are you protesting now? Yeah. So therefore, the result of that is that now, from then on, they don't go out and light until they are struck. Which means, in other words, Rashi says that. So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it means that from then on, like they have to be stiff every day to go and do their job. Otherwise, they refuse to do that. So they were going to go on strike. Basically, that's what we're saying. And the Ebishter has to, therefore, from then on, Kaviyachol forced them to do their job. The second explanation, Rashi says, and the Yad Ramah also brings, is that it means that Taka every day, from then on, the sun and moon Taka make a complaint. Before they go out to do their job, they Taka make a complaint. How are you talking that people in the world are worshipping us as a Vedazar? Because they Taka took the Ebishter's answer to heart. Yeah. Okay, Dorash Rava. My
disability every day.
Well, according to that second explanation, they don't need it. They realize it themselves. Okay. What does it mean? In that in connection in the story of Korach, Moshe says that if Hashem creates a creation, and the ground opens up its mouth, what kind of creation? If Gehenim has already been created, so much the better, then you can punish them with that. And if not, then let Hashem create it right now. So the question is, Lamai, in what sense? Do you mean to actually create Gehenna from scratch right now? We know the Pasuk says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything in the world was created during Sheshes Mebereshes, and that's it. And in fact, the Gemara in Nedarim, which also tells this, points out that actually we know that seven things were created before the world, and Gehenna is one of them. So why does Moshe have a topic whether Gehenna exists yet or not? El Karuvi Pidcha. No, what Moshe means is that if the mouth of Gehenna, the opening to Gehenna, is already right here where we are, then fine, nothing new needs to be done. But if not, then he's asking that the Ebishter should create an opening to it over here and let them fall into Gehenna. Now, some of the Mephoshim point out the word Bria actually, besides meaning creation, can also mean to peer at the hole. So therefore,
Bria, the Shard of Boreh, Rech Aleph, can also mean to pierce the hole. Therefore, yes, to pierce the hole in the ground. Okay. The Pasuk says, when a Korach loy mesu, it says the sons of Korach did not die. Tana mashum Rabbeinu omru. So we learn a braisa that they said in the name of Rabbeinu, the fastest Rabbeinu, our Kodesh, I guess, I don't know. Mokim bisbatsa lehem begehenim. What happened was a high place was arranged for them, Gehenim. They didn't fall down all the way into Gehenim. The Yoshua of Omru Shira. They, the Bnei Korach, sat over there and said Shira.
And they said Shira. Marshalun is actually, if you look at Kapitel Peches of Tillim, which was actually part of today's Tillim,
then you find it starts off Shir Midnu Bnei Korach. It's from Bnei Korach. And you have throughout the Kapitel the concern about falling into Gehenna. I'm about to be killed over there, etc. So therefore, it was a very appropriate Shira for them to be saying that we're about to go down there and the Ebishter saved them. I plead to the Ebishter not to let me fall in there, etc. So he says that's the capital that they said at the time. But they fell in, but they didn't go all the way down. By Yul and Neth, as the prophet says, they became a signal for everybody else. Well, Neth is actually also Moloshim, a high pole, like they're high up in there, and that's it. Eventually they got out.
They never went in, or they got out?
So they didn't go as far in, and eventually they got out. Omer Rav Baba Chana, so this we had in Baba Basra, Zimachod Havakaz Linavokha, one time I was traveling on the road, Omer Yahu Tayyar, a certain Arab says to me, an Arab merchant, as he says, Tob Achilach Bori the Korach, come, I'll show you where in the ground the people from Korach's group were swallowed up in the ground.
Ozil, so Rav Baba Chana goes with him, Chazet Shrei Bizi, he sees two cracks in the ground, to have a Kanofik Kitraminayu, that smoke is coming out of them.
Shoko Gvavadamra, the Arab takes a piece of wool, Amshie Maya, he soaked it in water, the Oitzve Bereshu Roimche, and he put it on the top of it, on the tip of his spear, to stick it in, the Achofei Hossam, and he passed it by those cracks in the ground with the smoke coming out, Ichrach, and it was singed, showing how powerful the fire down there. Didn't mean partially burned. So Maharsha, by the way, in Bhagavad-gita, this is part of a whole series of stories of Radha Mohan over there in Bhagavad-gita. Maharsha explains that the two cracks symbolize two ways in which they went wrong. They're jealous of Moshe's and Aaron's covered, where instead they should be part of the right thing to be jealous is of Moshe's Torah and of Aaron's Midah being Oyev Shalom or Oyev Shalom.
Instead, they're jealous of their cover. That's the two cracks. The smoke represents the Edershid anger that this aroused.
The wool soaked in water put on the end of the spear represents B'nai Korach, what we just said, did not wind up falling all the way into Gehenna. But nevertheless,
Ichrach, nevertheless, they got partially burnt, because after all, they did start going into Gehenna, so they did get affected by it. Yeah. And then there's other explanations as well of what this symbolizes. There's something from the Kli Yoker that he says that in general throughout any time you have Machloikas, Kodach is the original Baal Machloikas, so the great Baal Machloikas of history. So in general you have whenever you have Machloikas caused by two things representing the two cracks. People are out for covered and they're out for tight.
The wool getting singed represents that even the tzaddikim shabadur, if they get involved in machloikas, they don't come out unscathed. They get affected by it also.
Omalei, so the Arab says to Rabbi Baba Chana,
"Asis mashamas, pay attention to what you're going to hear." Rishamis to Havu Kamri, and Rabbi Baba Chana says, "I heard them saying, oh, you like this? Moshe v'serot emes, Moshe and his Torah crew, the hein badoyim, and they, meaning we, are liars."
Omalei, and the Arab tells him, it's not just you hearing it as a one-time thing. Kol plosim yoimin mahadrabu gehenim to bottom.
Every 30 days, Gehenim is moving there. They're constantly like circling around, like a big pot being stirred.
So every 30 days, they return over here, like meat, kibosu b'sef kalachat, like meat inside a pot. V'amri hachi, and they say the same thing. Moshe emes v'serot emes v'hein badoim. Moshe v'serot emes v'hein badoim. They call it out. What? No, they don't say it to get out. They say it because every month they're doing another level of tshuva. But then they still need to go through more. They still need to go through more cleansing in Gehenna. But every month they accomplish a little more of their tshuva.
Moshe,
I don't know, I guess.
Why does the Moshe go against Moshe?
Because that's the thing. Because that's what Marshall is saying. Because they were against both things. They were complaining. They were accusing Moshe of just being out for his covered instead of being jealous of him for his Torah. So therefore, they're being forced to say that. No, Moshe emes, v'serot emes. We were wrong in opposing him for his covered. We should have been jealous of him for his Torah and trying to be like him in Torah.
Badoim means
liars.
From the word
bada, but beis dalet aleph means to make up things. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Dor Amidbar ein lam chayot olam haba. The whole of the Dor Amidbar has no place in olam haba. So let's talk about that. As the pasuk says, in this desert they will end off, they'll be finished off, the shom yamusu, and there they will die. The double expression, yitamu ba'olam hazeh, shom yamusu ba'olam haba. This was Rabbi Akiva, the Omar and the Omer, and also we have another pasuk in Tilim. Asher nishbati ba'api, that the Eibishter says, I swore in my anger, im yivoyu no menuchasi, that they will not come to my resting place. What's the resting place? Gan Eden. Rashi says, Maharsha says, you would think maybe the word Menuchasi means the Beis Hamikdash, Zayis Menuchasi Ad Ead. It can't, because the Dor HaMidbar, of course, they weren't going to see the Beis Hamikdash built. The people who came into Eretz Yisrael didn't see the Beis Hamikdash built either. It was built 400 odd years later. So it has to be that Menuchasi must mean Gan Eden. That's Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva says that they have no Chelek Lel Mabo. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Hein Boyin Lo Olam Haba. They will come to Olam Haba, the Dor HaMidbar. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Isfuli chasidoi, gather to me my chasidim, kursei briti alei zavach, the ones who did a covenant with me over a korban, which is the Dor HaMidbar. They had the day before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu brought korbanos, as described at the end of Parashas Mishpatim. He brought korbanos on behalf of the people and sprinkled the blood on behalf of the people. Hine dama bris ashakoras Hashem imochem. So Hashem has made a bris with them. So that's when it says kursei brisi al izavach, and it's saying peacefully kursei brisi, the ones who cut a covenant with me, means the whole Dor HaMidbar, the entire Dor HaMidbar, because they were all
including,
present,
including
Korach. It would include Korach, it would include the Meraglim, The Yad Ramah points out something else also. Alei Zava also includes the fact that after the Chet HaMeraglim, the Eibishter threatens to kill the Jewish people in the Midbar until Moshe Tabiachol talks him out of it and says it'll make a Chilul Hashem. And the expression Moshe uses in the Pasuk is the Goyim are going to say that the Eibishter brought the Yidden out by Yishchotim Bamidbar, and he shechted them in the desert. There's actually a Sicha, I think it's Chelek Yudchet, where the Rebbe discusses why Moshe uses such an expression. Because if they do die in the Midbar, it'll mean they're being brought to a higher level, like Shchita does to an animal, but nevertheless, the Goyim won't see it that way. So therefore, Kosei Brisi Ali Zavach is that the Eibishter was ready to do Shchita to them, to bring them to that higher level, but nevertheless, though, that means that they do come to Gan Eden. And we've talked about, by the way, the vort from the Rama Mifano, which is brought to Siddus also, and in those Sichas, that when we say they don't come to Elam Abba, it means because they're beyond Elam Abba, they're higher than it. It's brought Nachsidus, yeah. Because they were on a level. That's fine, but nevertheless, though, they were there at Har Sinai. They had the Gilui of the course by Matan Torah, so therefore they're on such a high level. And we learned about it in Baba Basra as well. Another one of the Rabbi Baba Hana stories we had over there. He saw them lying over there with their faces red, like ruddy, like people who drunk wine. And he tried to cut off a tzitzis from one of them. We talked about that, and that's one of the explanations is that it shows what a high level in Ruchnius they were on.
So they called Vadayim.
That was before. That was Korach's group. Now we're talking about the Dora Midbar in general.
The Dora Midbar in
general.
Okay.
All right. Elamani Makai Mashenish Bati Bapi. So Rabbi Eliezer says in that case, what do you do with the Pasuk Hashenish Bati Bapi? Means Ba'api Nishbati V'Chezranibi. Means fine. I swore when I was angry, the Eibishter says, but now I changed my mind. And therefore they do come Lo'olam Habo. In fact, the Gemara and Chagit. The Eibishter is saying, Hashenish Bati, I swore in Yavoyin HaMenuchasi that they will not come to my Menucha, to Gan Eden. But now I changed my mind. And in fact, the Gemara in Chagiga talks about this is one of the sources. I swore in my anger, implying, but after my anger calmed down, then I retracted from it. And in fact, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga that this is taka one of the psukim in Tanakh from which we can learn a hint to the concept of Ataras Nedarim, that a person makes a neder, for example, in anger or whatever, later on when they realize the ramifications of it, they can be makir neder. That doesn't apply to the Eibishter, of course, but nevertheless, still in human terms, we can say that it does. Mitzat midas adin versus midas harachmim, etc. But what does it mean to apply anger to the Eibishter? The Eibishter doesn't have an anger like we have, but it means, in other words, that from the point of view of din, they didn't deserve to go into Gan Eden, let's say, but from the point of view of rachamim, they do.
Contradictory. Nishbati Bapi seems to be saying I'm sworn to my
in my anger, but that's my Rebbe Eliezer says that's the point. Only in my anger, but once my anger is over, then I'm looking at it differently.
If I'm sworn to my anger, my anger is not going away.
He swore in his anger, not to his anger. He swore in his anger. So it's like a person makes a neder when they're angry, and later on when they calm down, they realize the ramifications of it, and they go and be master neder. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha says, no, this pasuk that you're quoting, that you're quoting, Rabbi Yezir, Iskuli Chaside, Kursi Brisi, Ale Zavach, is not referring to the Dora Midbar, it's referring to future generations. Iskuli Chaside, when it says, gather to me my Chassidim, Elo Tzadikim Shabachol Dervadar, which this means generically the Tzadikim in every generation, that they're going into Elam Haba. Kursei Brisi, when it continues, those who cut a covenant with me, this is specifically Hanani Mishol Vazalia, who kept their covenant with the Eibishter and were willing to be Moser Nefesh for the Bris with the Eibishter, to not worship the Machanetzah statue. And when it finishes off, Alei Zavach, regarding a sacrifice, this means Hanani Mishol Vazalia actually didn't get killed in the end, they got saved for Derech Nes. But Alei Zavach is even higher level. Elo Rabbi Akiva v'Chaverav Shemoser Atzman L'Shchita Al Divrei Torah. This refers to Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, the Atzora Arugei Malchus, who were moser themselves to be killed for Divrei Torah. So nothing to do with the Dora Midbar. It has to do with because he's saying that. That's what he's saying. That's what it means. That Chassidai and Kosei Brisi Alei Zavach refers to three different groups of tzaddikim. Okay. Reb Shimon Menachia. This is how we learned the pasuk. Reb Shimon ben Menachia, I'm a boy in Hain La Olam Habo. Reb Shimon ben Menachia says that in the end, the Dora Midbar does come to Olam Habo. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Duye Hashem Yishuvun, the ones who were saved by Hashem, who were redeemed by Hashem, will return, Uvo Tzion Berina, and they will come to Tzion, meaning to the Beit Mikdash, in happiness. So who are the Pidui Hashem? The point is, that means the Dor HaMidbar, who were redeemed from Mitzrayim. No. They're Pidui Hashem in the sense they were redeemed directly by Hashem, lo yayde malach, lo yayde sarof, as you say in the Haggadah. It means also, Marashah points out, the point is, it can't just mean the people who are going to be redeemed, la'asid la'aveh, when Mashiach comes, because you can't call them Pidui Hashem yet. Pidui Hashem means the ones who were already redeemed by Hashem, and now they're going to be coming to see us. So who must that be? It must be. Therefore, it means the Dor HaMidbar, the original people who came out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, they will come to Tzion. They will have a chelik on the Mabba. Amar Rav Abba, the whole Dor HaMidbar. Amar Rav Abba Chana. Now, okay. So we said that maybe the Adas Meraglim has to go through an extra thing. The Meraglim, maybe they have to go through an extra thing that they need an extra din on top of that. Maybe Adas Korach as well. But the point is, at least they are boring loyal Mabba. It's very surprising over here that Rabbi Akiva is saying that they don't have a chesed on Mabah. He seems to have abandoned his usual chesedus. Usually Rabbi Akiva always sticks up for the Jewish people. He always tries to be mezakeh of the Jewish people, as we're going to see an example of it at the bottom of the Amud. And now, all of a sudden, he's taking a very hard line with the Dor HaMidbar. Now again, according to the explanation of chesedus, that means they're higher than Olam Haba, then it means he's not. But still, why is he using an expression that could be misunderstood to mean that it means they have no chelik, as in they're too low for it? What about it? What's that got to do? Okay, that's we're talking about chesedus, the fact that he like tries to justify the Jewish people collectively. Okay, where do we see Shenema? Because you have a pasuk that seems to show very clearly that the Dor HaMidbar themselves have a chelik olam haba. And why didn't Rabbi Akiva pay attention to that? Shenema, you have a pasuk in Yumia, holech b'karasa b'ozni Yerushalayim lamema, go and call, and then call in the ears of the people of Yerushalayim as follows, zachauti lo chesed neurayich, I remember for you the kindness of your youth. The Eibishter is saying to the Jewish people, I remember the kindness of your youth, avas klolitzayich, the love of your love as a kala, when you went and you followed me in the Midbar, in a land that's not planted, and the Eibishter is saying, I remember that for the Yidden. So the Yumio is talking to the Yidden 900 years later. So the Eibishter credits the schus of the Dor HaMidbar to those later generations, and those later generations benefit from that schus. Hey, Masma Leikoshkin, how much more so they should benefit from their own schus and be able to come lost and then be able to come loyal Mabo. So how are you talking that Rabbi Akiva did not take notice of that and then and says that they have no chelik on Mabah? And that's what we're saying. It's a shavka Rabbi Akiva. It's very odd that he would do that. Okay. All right. Continues the Mishnah. Aseres Hashvatim Einan Asidin Lachto. The Aseres Hashvatim are not going to return. Are not going to return. Now, what does that mean? Okay. So now we got to get into some of the details about that. Okay, so first of all, Rashi brings two explanations about it. One is that we're talking about the original people who were taken into Golos, that they are Aden Asid and Lachzer. They're not going to return. In other words, they're not going to return from the places they went into Golos. They're not going to have Tchias Amesim, etc. But it doesn't mean they're short because they were Rishoyim Gmurim, but their descendants.
Yeah,
but their descendants, sure, they'll return just like the rest of the Jewish people. Yeah, but that's what, according to that, that's what it means. It means the original Aseret HaShvatim, who Sancheirav took into Galus, they're Einan Asid and Lachzer because they're Rishoyim. Some of the other Mephoshim say a variation on that it means specifically Einan Asid and Lachzer means they're not going to return to Eretz Yisrael because we learned earlier in the Perek, similar to the Meraglim, who spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael, and we said in the Mishnah that Einlahem, in the previous Mishnah that Einlahem, so we learned earlier in the Perek that when the people of the Aseret HaShvatim, the original people who were taken into Golos, when they were taken to various places, they said about them, this place is just as good as Eretz Yisrael, this place is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael, etc. So they denigrated Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they don't deserve to return to it. But their descendants is a whole different matter.
It's not exactly the same notion as the Meraglim.
Okay, but it's a different. Okay, but it's a different way of saying it. That's Rashi mentions that. So at the beginning of the Gemara, he says that Yesh Meforshim, when we say Aseres HaShvatim Einan Asid and Lachzer, means that they're not going to have that Mashiach is not going to bring them back together with the rest of the Goliath because they denigrated Eretz Yisrael because they spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, that's one. And then Rashi brings the other explanation, is that we're talking about the people from his Rebbe, that we're talking about the people themselves who went into Golus. So they're descendants. Sure, they're going to have a chela. They're going to have
for
a chela. Yeah. Yeah.
So we see how important it is. Not to say
what?
Someone sins, their father sins, the person, their kid doesn't suffer.
So we're going to talk about that in the Gemara a little bit, but we're going to talk about that. So we're going to bring chassidus of Rabbi Akiva. But there are other
explanations. If you take the second generation of Moab. Why can't
that's a Moab of Goyim, that's different. But no, you can't marry the second generation of Moab. Gamdera, no, Gamdera, no. You're thinking of Edom and Mitzray.
Edom and Mitzray.
Okay. Hey, fine. Hey. Anyway, there's other explanations as well, including that when we say Einan Asid and Lachzer, we may be talking about the question like this. You have Rashi brings over here that based on a Gemara in Megillah and in Erchin, that Yirmiyahu brought many of the Aseres HaShvatim back. And therefore, they rejoined the body of the Jewish people in Eretz Israel. They were taken into Golus Bavel together with everybody else 30 years later. They're still among us now. We have among us now members of all 12 Shvatim. So therefore, you have an explanation that we don't know, but L'mas HaMashiach, it'll be clarified. But the point is, another way of looking at it, when we say Einan Asid and Lachzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, means that the ones who remained where they are and assimilated, and you have various people nowadays who maybe have some vestige of Yiddishkeit, but they've lost large parts of it. Are they going to be Asid and Lachzer in the sense, are they going to return? Are they going to be brought back to do tshuva and rejoin the Jewish people? Or that's it? Or are they goners? Yeah. You have a number of different explanations. Okay. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vayashlichem al Eretz Acheres Kayim Azeh, as the Pasuk says, he threw them into another land like this day. And the ones who are thrown into another land, they abished it. The point is that the point is Yehuda and Binyamin weren't just taken into Golus in one place. They were scattered all over the world, as opposed to the Aseres HaShvatim were taken to one area. That's al Eretz Acheres, to a different land, meaning one particular land. So therefore, the pasuk must be talking about them, and it uses the expression "kayoyim hazeh," like this day, meaning "ma hayoyim holach veinu chozer," just like today goes away and never comes back. Achem holachem veinu chozer, the same way they went and they're not going to come back. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, he's also taking a hard line on them. Yeah, the Gemara is going to point that out. Rabbi Eliezer, kayoyim hazeh. No, Rabbi Eliezer says it means like this day in a different sense. Not this day as in this day on the calendar, but this day as in daylight versus night. My yoy masa lameir, just like a day consists of a period of darkness and a period of lightness, by erev vayibroker, afaseres hashvatim shafelo lahem, just so also the aseres hashvatim, who now it's dark for them, they're in Golos, and maybe even completely assimilated among the goyim, there's going to be light for them, they are going to be returning and be together with everybody else. Yet another explanation, by the way, of Einan Asid and Lachzer is they will return, but they won't have the Maharal says, I think, they will return, but they won't have the covered that they did before. They won't be like on the same high level as Yehuda and Binyamin and the people who did come back with Yirmiyahu and so forth. Okay. Turn it up, Bonham. We learn it
about. Has to be from either Levi, Yehuda, or Binyamin?
No, I've said many times already. We have among us members of all 12 Shvatim. That's a given. Everybody agrees to that. We know that, I told you, the Gemara mentions, for example, that in Yoshiyahu's time, which is 100 years after the Golos Aseres HaShvatim, they kept a Yovel. You only keep a Yovel if Kol Yoshvei Aleh, all or most of the Jewish people, are residing in Eretz Yisrael. That's how it was. That's the Gemara learns from that in Erchin Taka, that Taka Yirmiyahu brought many of them, many if not most of them, back. That's it. Okay. Turn on Aseres HaShvatim ain laim chelik loim abba. We learn in a Braisa that the Aseres HaShvatim have no chelik loim abba. Shenema vayitchen Hashem ma'al ad nosem ba'achu v'chemo v'ketzef gadol. As the Pasuk says, Hashem cast them away from their land. Ba'ach with anger, or v'chema, and there's another word for anger, or v'ketzef gadol, and with great fury. Yeah. So vayitchen Hashem ma'al ad nosem ba'al mazeh. Vayashlichen ala etacheres lo'al mazeh. So that's it. The double expression, as we've said many times, means Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So says Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ishkar Akor. Rabbi Shimon. No, it depends. The fact that it uses the word Kayoim Hazeh means it depends. Imma Seim Kayoim Hazeh. If they continue acting the way they're acting right now, then yeah, Einam Chozer, and then they're not going to return, because that's it. They're not doing Tshuva. V'imlav Chozer. But if not, if they're doing Tshuva, then they will return also. Which means, now we learned earlier in the Perek, we had the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua, whether in general the Geula for the Jewish people collectively requires Tshuva. Is it any Yisrael, Nigol, and Elevat Tshuva? Or is it that the Geula can happen even without Tshuva? So now we're saying that even if we say that for the Jewish people collectively, maybe Geula can happen without Tshuva, but for the Aseret HaShvatim, according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, they're going to need Tshuva in order to be able to return.
It's a bit of a different scenario of what you're saying, which is that amongst us are the Aseret HaShvatim.
Again, we're talking about the ones, we're definitely talking about some, we're definitely talking about either the original ones who went in Golos and died there, whether they're going to have Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, or we're talking about their descendants who remained over there and assimilated.
Okay.
We're definitely not talking about the ones
who rejoined
Yehuda and Binyamin at various times, during the time of Yeravam and later on during the times of some of the other kings of Yehuda, and later on that Yirmiyahu brought many of them back. We're talking about the ones who did not come back. Right. Rebbe says, regardless, they're coming to Olam Haba. Shenema b'yemahu yitakav shofar gadol v'gomer, because the pasuk says, on that day, the great shofar will be blown. And the pasuk continues, that ha'ovdim be'eretz Asher, the ones who are lost in the land of Asher, namely the Aseret HaShvatim, v'hanidochim be'eretz Mitzrayim, and the ones who are scattered or whatever in Eretz Mitzrayim, means, Rashi says, the Dor HaMidbar. So therefore it means that both of them, they're both the Aseret HaShvatim and the Dor HaMidbar, are coming back. Again, when we come back to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, it seems that Rabbi Akiva, again, has set aside his chassidus. Usually he sticks up for the Jewish people, and here he's not. And again, there's a pasuk that he could have used to show that the Aseret HaShvatim are going to return. Shenem, how does he have a pasuk? A different pasuk. Holoch v'karosa et advarim ha'elot tafayna. The Eivishter says to Yirmiyahu, go call out these words northward, which northward is the direction in which the Aseret HaShvatim were taken into Golos. V'amarta, and you should say, shuva m'shuva Yisrael me'um Hashem, return you wayward Yisrael, says Hashem. And Yisrael over there in context, you can see from the Pesukim over there, in context is referring to the Aseret HaShvatim. Because the pasuk describes over there that the Eivishter is saying the Aseret HaShvatim did bad and they did Averis and they were taken into Golos. But the Yehuda has acted even worse because they should have taken a lesson. They should have realized what happens when you disobey the Eivishter, and they're going and doing even more Averis. So therefore, the Eivishter says to Yirmiyahu, in that case, it turns out therefore that now the Aseret HaShvatim in a way are better than they have a certain schus. In a way, they're better than Yehuda because they didn't have whose example to learn from. Therefore, he says, go call these words to them. V'amarta, and you should say, Shuvah Meshuvah Yisrael Neum Hashem. They were worshipping Abba Dezara, and we know. Well, why was the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Abba Dezara, Gilei Arayot, and Shvichas Damim.
But we don't know that
the Aseret HaShvatim were doing Abba Dezara, at the very least. We know they were also doing other Averis as well. But the point is So Shuvah Meshuvah Yisrael Neum Hashem, return you wayward Yisrael, says Hashem. V'loi apil ponai b'chem, I will not cast my anger, ponai can mean my anger, against you.
It's a pasuk,
can you hear me? Yeah. Ki chosid aninu Hashem, because Hashem says, because I'm a chosid, I go l'fnim b'shurat adin, loy etter lo'olam, I don't hold a grudge forever. So in other words, I'm willing to be meichel you. So Rabbi Akiva could have used that pasuk. You see, the Eivishter is willing to give the Aseret HaShvatim a second chance. So why didn't he? Okay, you could answer the Gemara. The Gemara brings elsewhere that from this pasuk taka we learn. I think Rashi brings on that pasuk itself that from there taka we see that Yirmiyahu was told to go to the Aseret HaShvatim and bring back as many of them as possible. So Rabbi Akiva could conceivably learn that. Fine, that pasuk is addressed to whichever one taka did return with him. We're dealing with the one who didn't return with him. But still, he could have understood it to mean them collectively. Why didn't he? My chassidus, say, where do we see specifically that Rabbi Akiva is a chassid, that he tries to stick up for the Jewish people? The Tanya, namely like this. We learn in a braisa. K'tane b'nei risha Yisrael, young children of Rishoyim of the Jewish people. Now, Rashi says, we're talking about the Rishoyim themselves. Okay, so you have Rishoyim among the Jewish people who have no chelek l'olam haba. Either Rashi mentions over here on the basis of a Gemara and Ksubas that a person who's careless about Divrei Torah. Some of the other Mephoroshim argue with Rashi and they say no, because we learned you at the beginning of the parak, with a few exceptions. So fine, then we're talking about those few exceptions. Whatever it was, whatever it is, whichever people don't come to Olam Haba, they're young children, so the young children, they have no schusim of their own yet. They don't have schus avos, because their fathers also, their parents also, are Rishoyim. Therefore, ain't barin la'olam haba. Therefore, the Tanakama, this is Rabbi Gamliel, says they don't come la'olam haba. Chenema. And some of the Mephoshim, by the way, say that when we say over here la'olam haba, we're primarily talking about, we're not so much talking, throughout the Perek, we've been using the word olam haba either to mean Gan Eden, where a person goes after 120, or the time after Mashiach coming. A number of the Mephoshim say that here particularly we're talking about the question of do they have Tchias HaMesim. Olam Haba over here means Tchias HaMesim. So Rabbi Gamliel is saying they don't. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Kihine ayoyim ba boyer katanur." Behold, the day is going to come when Mashiach comes, burning like an oven. Now, the famous thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu moitzi chama min artika, that David should take the sun out of its sheath. So all the people who did avedus deliberately and all the people who acted wickedly will become like straw. And they will be burnt on that day yet to come. Says Hashem, that it won't leave for them root or branch, meaning shodesh ba'olam hazeh v'onach lo'olam haba. So it means they won't have any roots in this world, meaning that they'll die as nephalim, as very young children, stillbirth or shortly after birth. But on a no, not necessarily shvatim. This is bnei rishi, tane bnei rishi yisrael. But on a floilam abba, and there won't be any branch of them left floilam abba. Which means, in other words, now the point is, Meforshim explain oisei risha doesn't just so zaydim means the father is what we're showing. Oisei risha means the children who. They're starting to learn like to act like Rishoyim, or they will become Rishoyim, presumably because of how they learn from their parents. So therefore we're saying that there's nothing going to be left of them. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, and here's where we see his chassidus, such children will come to Olam Haba.
Different Rabbi Akiva.
Not different, but with those things he held one way, but normally he's a chassid and he looks out for the Jewish people. As the pasuk says, Hashem guards the psoyim. And what is psoyim? It's chikain shkodin, but krachayam liyinuka pasya. Because in the cities near the coast, their word for a child is pasya. There is actually a very similar word in Arabic that means a child. So therefore, psoyim had a pasya. It's similar to that pasa or something, whatever. So therefore, it means shreim psoyim Hashem means Hashem guards the children. The Rebbe, by the way, actually talks about in Nesicha that we see the chassidus of Rabbi Akiva, not just the fact that he's trying to stick up for these children and say that they come Lo'olam Haba, that he actually made a trip to Krachei Hayam to find out what their word for child is so that he could douse in the pulpit.
In Arabic,
because, what, the word for child, or the word is for, in some dialect of Arabic or whatever, the word for child passing you or something, that means child.
Okay. So it says, Shrema Psoim Hashem, means Hashem guards the children. And you have another pasuk. This is in context. This pasuk is part of the description of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a second dream besides the famous one of a statue. He has one where he dreams about a gigantic tree, where then a malach comes and says, "Chop it down, but leave the roots in the ground." Goyderi lona, chop down the tree, v'chabluhi, and destroy it. Bram, but ikar shershoi ba'arashvuku, but leave its main roots in the ground. What are the main roots? The children. So even if the fathers have no chelik lo'olam haba, the children still do. So there's another pasuk that expresses that. What does it have to do with Nebuchadnezzar's dream? So Marsha says, because every dream has a little bit of tefillim in it, so therefore his dream had to have something that's irrelevant to what he's being told. Some of the other Meforshim say, I think the Yad Ramah says that the vote is, we see, I think Rabbi Yaakov Emden actually says, that what it means is we make a kavachomer. In Nebuchadnezzar's case, the meaning of that the roots should be left in the ground is that Nebuchadnezzar's children and grandchildren will still occupy the throne, his son Evel Meroidach and his grandson Belshazzar. So by a kavachomer, even Nebuchadnezzar, the Rosh, his children and his grandchildren, he's getting punished, but is it how much more so for the Rishonim among the Jewish people? The Ella,
so the Rakiva said, "Man in time more yazav land so to fall."
So then, what are we doing with Rabbi Gamliel's pasuk that there won't be left of them root or branch? It means shaleyanech lehem la mitzvah v'leshiyure mitzvah. It means as far as the Rishayim themselves, not their children, there won't be anything left for their reward in Gan Eden, neither for a mitzvah or for shiure mitzvah. The Eibishter will pay them all back for all the details in this world. That way, they don't have anything left. Rashi learns that mitzvah means the more serious mitzvahs, mitzvah chamura, and shiurei mitzvah means mitzvah kala. Some of the other Meforshim explain that actually no, mitzvah means the mitzvahs themselves, shiurei mitzvah means the things that aren't essential to the performance of the mitzvah. For example, with lulav, the basic mitzvah is to pick up the dalad minim. You don't have to wave them, you're yotze the mitzvah without waving them, but you wave them, that's called shiurei mitzvah. But the Eibishter, even those kinds of details, the Eibishter will pay them back in this world. Dabra Acher, or another explanation, Shodesh is a neshama, but on a zaguf. Or another possibility is that Shodesh, the roots, means the neshama, and the branches means the body. So fine, their bodies and their neshamas will be won't come Lo'olam Haba. But the children will. Avok tane bnei risha over to kachavim. But when it comes to the young children of the rishoyim among the goyim, divra hakol ein boyin la'olam haba. That Rabbi Akiva says everybody will agree that they don't come la'olam haba because again they don't have any chus from their parents. They don't have any chusim of their own. Meila, if they're the children of chasidu masa olam, fine. Chasidu masa olam. We learned earlier in the perek we had Rav and Shmuel discussing whether they have a chelik la'olam haba. Our mishnah, the first mishnah of our perek implied that they do because it says Bilam has no chelik la'olam haba, implying that chasidu masa olam do. So fine, their children can also get in, you know, like you have at museums or whatever, you know, children get in free with their parents. But
it's not right. Their parents are not
in Torah. No, here we're talking about goyim, but same idea though. The point is
because
like this, if they were old enough to be able to do for themselves, okay, then they get in or don't get in on their own merit. They're chassidur masarilam or not, as the case may be. But if they're young children, or a kid who dies young from a goy who's not a chassidur masarilam, so the parents have no schus to transmit to the kid, the kid himself has no schus, how is he supposed to get in?
Why is
that
mitzvah?
But he's little to have done mitzvah, yeah. V'Rav Gamliel, what does Rav Gamliel answer to that? What is he going to do with where is he going to learn that Tanei Bnei Risha Ovdei Kachavim don't come L'Olam Haba? Not the Lamei, but that's the Abed Kol Zecho Lamei. He'll say, I learned that from a different pasuk that says that the Abed Kol Zecho Lamei, you destroyed every remembrance of them. So,
that was exactly what it sounds like. That when it comes to the
or Ovdei Kachavim, who are not Chassidim or Masarilim, so every remembrance of them will be destroyed. So that's it. It means even their young children, because they have no chosim of their own. But he doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Akiva about the Ketani Bnei Risha Yisrael. Okay, but that's the point. In other words, we see the Chassidus, the Rabbi Akiva, that he found a pasuk, he found two pasukim actually, Shem of Sayyim Hashem, and Goydu Ilona, to say that the children of Rishay B'nai Yisrael do come, Torah Lamba. That's his Chassidus. So in this connection, Itmar, Kotan Me'emasai Ba'al O'el Lamba. At what point, Taka, does a child have their own place, Ba'al Lamba? Reb Chia v'Reb Shimon B'Rebbe. So Reb Chia and Reb Shimon B'Rebbe disagree on that. One says, as soon as the child is born, he already has a chelik l'olam haba. And the other one says, mishar she siper, from when the child is able to begin talking. Or some of the mefarshim say siper means to be able to daven. Man d'ama mishar she noilad, shenema, because you have a pasuk in Tehillim, yavoyu v'yagidu tzidkasoi, la'am noilad kiyosa. Let them come and tell Hashem tzidkus to a nation that was born, that he made it. A nation that's born, meaning as soon as they're born, they're part of the Jewish nation, and they have a chelik l'olam haba. What about the opinion that says that only when they start talking, because the previous pasuk says, the seed, the children that will serve Hashem, Yisupar Lashem Lader, are the ones who are Yisupar will be able to talk Lashem to Hashem, so will be able to talk Lashem Lader, that they will be from generation, that they'll in other words be in a future generation, that they'll have to say it's amazing. Again, the issue we're talking about over here, really, when we say when they come, we're really talking about, like we said before, when they come to Tchias Mason. At what age is a child able to become Tchias Mason? So according to one opinion, it's as soon as they're born. Even if Rachman al-Islam, a kid dies right after they're born, they're going to come back by Tchias Mason. According to the other opinion, Mishar Shasipir. Itmar, then we have more opinions on that. Ravina Amar Mishar Shen Nizra. Ravina says that it's even earlier. As soon as he's fertilized, so even conceived, as soon as a baby is conceived. Dichtiv Zera Yavdenu, because the pasuk says the Zera will serve Hashem. In other words, even the Zera, just so they were first conceived, and already Yavdenu, they'll serve the Eibishter Lasid Lover. Interesting, actually, there is in fact a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein where he deals with a question from a couple that they had some kids who were born with congenital defects, maybe Tay-Sachs, maybe something like that. I don't know exactly, and they were concerned this is, I guess, before they had things like Dor Yeshorim to be able to sweeten them ahead of time. Whatever it is, anyway, should they try? Can they use moich? Can they use some kind of contraceptive or whatever to avoid the issue? And Rav Moshe tells them on the basis of our Gemara over here, no. As soon as Mishal Shen Nizra, as soon as a child is conceived, they already have a chelik l'olam haba. Therefore, that alone makes it worthwhile.
And you cannot use.
And therefore, that's not a valid reason to use moich.
Okay.
he says.
But Moch is before the conception.
No, that's it. It's prevent conception. That's what Moshe is saying. In other words, that you're going to be preventing conception, meaning that you're preventing that this potential child is going to come, is going to come back by Chesed Mason. That's what Ravina is saying. Even if she miscarries, yeah. Rav Nachman Yitzchok on Mishosh and Mimo. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that a baby is that a baby gets Chiyas Amesim as soon as he has a bris milah. Dichtiv, because they have a pasuk Oni Ani. I am poor, meaning even though I'm poor, v'geveya minoyar, but I'm dying from youth. In other words, Rashi says, even though I'm oni, I have no mitzvahs of my own yet, but my death is considered something important. You can say on him v'yigva v'yosif, which is a lashon that's used by tzaddikim. And when does that begin? Nasasi emecha, from the time that I'm carrying on my body a symbol of your fear, of the fear of Hashem, meaning bris milah, afuna, at that point, it rolls on, it's like resting on me. So as soon as that happens, the Eivishter's Shechina rests on me, and therefore therefore even if that point the baby dies after that, then he still comes back to Chesed Mason. Yeah, there's other explanations how exactly we learn it from the pasuk. One of them is also for Geveya, the Yad Ramah says for Geveya Minoya is like already he's Minoya already from 8 days old. For Geveya, he's like he has a very serious operation done on him. The Geveya not literally dying, but the bris milah, but like it's his first major experience of pain, basically.
Geveya
literally means to die, means to expire. But in other words, we can be using it in the sense of it here. Like this is the first, this is like almost the first stage of the first kind of pain that a person experiences in his life, where the last one is going to be that they die. So therefore, as soon as that happens, already nafasi emecha afuna. Already, I'm bearing your yiras Hashem, and therefore I deserve to be brought alive again by Tzeis Amesim. Marshall talks about afuna. It can also be meloshin oifan, a wheel, because we know the famous thing that the bodies are going to roll through tunnels to come to Eretz Yisrael to Tzeis Amesim. Okay. And by the way, the Be'er Sheva points out, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, this is the source of the minhag that if a baby, Rahman al-Aflan, dies before 8 days old, before they had a bris, that you give them a bris before you bury them, you get that from this Gemara over here, because that way at least they had a bris. Yeah, that's the minhag that you give them so they can come back with Chesed and Eisim. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. Yeah. Then we learn in a braita, in the name of a mayor, the point at which a child is deserving of, is able to come alive by Tzchias HaMesim, is from the first time he says Omen. As the pasuk says, open up the gates, meaning of Gan Eden. Let the righteous nation come in. Shomer Emunim, the ones who guard the faithfulness. Al Tikri Shomer Emunim Ela Shomer Omen. Not Shomer Amunim, they guard the faithfulness, but Shomer Amen, that they say Amen. So as soon as that happens, the gates of Gan Eden are open to them.
Every time we say Amen, it's as if we're reinforcing it.
This is also true. My Amen, so what's so important about Amen? How does that imply that you're accepting on yourself the Kabbalah of Omar Shemaim? Amen of Kandina, because it stands for Kael Melech Naaman. Hashem, who is the faithful king. So therefore, as soon as he says Amen, and this is also brought in Shulchan Aruch, that this is the importance of bringing kids to shul so that they can learn to answer Amen. Because as soon as they answer Amen, according to this braisa that we just said, then they have a chelek over my body. Okay. In this connection, talking about people who are and aren't deserving of Olam Haba, and people who may or may not go to Gehenna, there's a pasuk that says like this, Lachain hirchiva sha'ol napsha, therefore sha'ol, meaning Gehenna, has opened itself wide, upara pia, it's opened up its mouth, l'vli choyk, without choyk. So what does l'vli choyk mean?
Amar Shlokesh, l'misha messiah, l'afil choyk.
So the Shlokesh says, this means that Gehenna is open for a person who leaves out and does not keep even one particular mitzvah, even one particular choyk, goes to Gehenna. Amr of Yechanan, so Rav Yechanan says to him, their master, the Eibishter, doesn't like that you should judge the Jewish people so harshly. This is another connection. Before we were saying that Rabbi Akiva is taking a very hard line, now Rav Yechanan is telling the Shlokish, you shouldn't be doing that either. One second, so we'll talk about and let's learn what Rav Yechanan answers, and what Rav Yechanan answers, and then we'll talk about what Rav Shlokish can possibly mean. Yeah. So, no. Ella, filu lo lomad ella choyk echad. Chaket, Reb Yechanan says. It means that even if a person didn't learn, even if a person only learned one chayt,
that is enough to save him from death.
So exactly the opposite of Rish Lakish. So what does Rish Lakish mean, and what does Rabbi Yochanan mean for that matter? So there's many, many, many different explanations. It can mean that Rish Lakish is saying a person missed out on one mitzvah. Fine, obviously it doesn't mean they'd go to Gehenna Mudur to Dorus, but still they need a certain period of Gehenna to clean themselves up from that. In particular, before Tchias HaMesim, we talk about that there's going to be a final judgment before Tchias HaMesim. So therefore, it can be referring to that. The person is going to need that cleansing in Gehenna. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Faker, even if a person only has the course of one mitzvah, that's enough that they shouldn't need that. So he learns that li choik means only if a person did no choik at all, does he have to go to Gehenna. But if he did even one choik, then he does not. There's many, many other different explanations, including that we're talking about, that a person may not physically be able to do all the mitzvahs, but at least the person is responsible to learn about all the mitzvahs. So if a person ignores some of them and doesn't bother learning about them, that's what Rish Lakish is talking about. That's the Be'er Sheva mentions that explanation. He brings... Okay, so you have Mepharshim who say that specifically choik over here refers to certain mitzvahs such as tefillin and such as this, well, specifically tefillin and bris milah, which are both called choik in the Torah. So if a person doesn't do one or the other kashrus. Of those, what?
Kashrus
is not, no, kashrus is not explicitly called in the Torah a choik. It is an example of a choik, but it's not explicitly
called in the Torah a choik.
As opposed to bris milah is and tefillin is.
So once the Beit
Hamikdash
is informed, cannot do all the mitzvahs.
That's what the Be'er Sheva is saying, that we can't learn them, we can't do them, but we can learn about them. So therefore, so that's why Rabbi Yochanan uses the expression that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, even if you only learn the details about one mitzvah, and whereas Rish Lakish is saying you have to at least learn the details of all the mitzvahs.
And if you miss one, you don't.
And if you miss one, then he's not saying you don't have Olam Haba. He says you go into Gehenna. Doesn't have to mean permanently,
okay,
but it means. Okay. But anyway, so again, so that those are some other explanations. You have explanations that we're talking about, that Rish Lakish is talking about somebody who ignores one mitzvah, like thinks it's not important or whatever. Not he doesn't do it because he doesn't get to it or whatever, but he thinks that he mocks that one particular mitzvah or whatever, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is saying that not. On the other hand, the problem with that is that then if he mocks one particular mitzvah, he's a mummer, he's a little tear off and all. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that he shouldn't have to go into Gehenna? Okay, so there's a lot of different explanations what exactly this means. Okay.
Is there a lot of... It's not really a lot, isn't it?
But I mean, in general, we say Kol Yisrael Yesham Chayuzal Rabba, so it has to be that somehow Rabbi Yochanan's opinion wins out, and basically a person does. Actually, I forgot to mention, Maharsha says specifically we're talking about over here the famous case that the Rambam mentioned in Hilchos Teshuva. They have a person who's exactly balanced, half mitzvah, half averus. So therefore, if he has this, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if he only has one mitzvah to counter to balance on the side of good, then that makes a difference. Yeah.
Rabbi
Yochanan
was
a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan, but yeah.
He's not his Rebbe.
He can
disagree with him.
They were Chaverim more than, yeah. I mean, originally Rabbi Yochanan taught Rish Lakish, but eventually he became great enough that they were Chaverim. But anyway, here Rish Lakish is speaking first, and then Rabbi Yochanan answers him. Rabbi Yochanan is definitely not a Talmud of Rish Lakish.
No, right the other way around.
Yeah.
No, Rish Lakish said first.
Rish Lakish said first, so he said his opinion, and then Rabbi Yochanan called him on it. Okay. All right, the Shenemar over here is in parenthesis, and Agoras Agro takes it out, because the next thing we're going to say is not really a proof to what we were talking about. It's another machloikus, another machloikus in the same vein between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Pasuk says in Zechariah, "V'hoya b'chol ha'aretz nu'um Hashem," it'll be in the entire world, says Hashem, "pi shnayim bo yikosu yigvo," two-thirds of it will be cut off and die.
And a third will be left.
What do we mean a third?
It means one third
within the ones of shame. So Rashi gives a couple of explanations about it. One is like this. So we know that Noah had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Shem had five sons, of whom the third was Arpachshad. And Arpachshad is the ancestor of the Jewish people. Arpachshad is the eighth generation ancestor of Avraham Avinu. So therefore, so Rashi brings the first explanation is that what Rish Lakish is saying is, so Amar Rish Lakish Shlishi Shal Shem, what Rish Lakish means by that is Chum and Yopet are definitely gone. Even within Shem, what you're going to have left is only one-third of our Pachshad, who in turn is the third son of Shem, who in turn is one of the three sons of Noach.
That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation is it means all of our Pachshad descendants,
which is one-third of Shem.
Anyway.
But Rabbi Yechanan again says the Eibishter does not like that you talk like that. So according to Rashi's first explanation, the problem with it is if you say only one third of our Pachshad descendants are going to be left alive, Limosa Mashiach, that can mean you're going to have a lot of Jews who are going to be goners as well. Because it's true, from our Pachshad you have a number of nations, but if you were to divide all of the descendants of our Pachshad into three, and you have the ones who are descended from Aver, and you have the ones who are descended from Avraham, the various nations descended from Avraham and all, if you count them all up, the Pasuk doesn't list specifically any sons of our Pachshad, it only lists the one son, Shelah, who's another ancestor of Avraham, you know, but you have, later on, you have Aver, who has two sons, Peleg and Yoktan. And then Yoktan has 13 children who become the ancestors of various peoples who live in Saudi Arabia or whatever, or that part of the world. Then you have, going further down, you have Avraham, and from Avraham come, and then from Haran, you have eventually from Terach, you have the nations descended from Lot, you have the nations descended from Avraham, the five Jewish people, you have Yishmael, and Bnei Keturah, and Bnei Esav, and whatever. Fine, but if you count them all up, what happens if the Jewish people amount to more than one third of the children of our Pachshad? You're telling me that a lot of Jews are going to have to be killed off. So the Eibishter doesn't like you that you should be talking like that. Or Rashi says the second explanation is that if we say that all of the descendants of our Pachshad are going to be left, but still, then still the Eibishter doesn't like that you should have to be talking about that they should have to be reduced that much. Some of the other Mephoshim say, and Rashi is saying that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that the problem is that Jews are going to have to die. Some of the other Mephoshim say Rabbi Yechanan is concerned about the Goyim as well. Why should so many Goyim have to die? Why are you understanding the Pasuk to say that so many Goyim should have to die? The Pasuk can mean that even though there'll be one-third of Noach's descendants left, meaning, let's say, all the descendants of Shem, which therefore includes all the Jewish people, as well as a large number of the nations of the Goyim that are in the world.
It's impossible, isn't it?
Okay, so what does all this mean? So I'll tell you. First of all, actually, it's interesting in Torah Ur, in the Hesafos to Vayechi, the Alter Rebbe mentions over there, maybe he had a different Girsa in the Gemara here or something, because he says the other way around, that the Gemara implies that one third will be destroyed and two thirds will be left. And he talks about the Pnimis and Yonim, that Chum represents Klippa, and therefore Klippa is going to be destroyed, as opposed to Shem and Yefes, who represent the Tzad of Kedusha, and therefore they're going to be preserved. The Rebbe has a fascinating... Yefes is basically the ancestor of the European nations, and Shem of the Asian nations, and Chum of the African nations, more or less. It's not a hard and fast rule. But there's a fascinating sticha in Chelek Chof Gimel where the Rebbe analyzes this in connection also with one of Bilam's Nevoros. And the Rebbe ends up explaining like this, that the two different opinions over here basically reflect the question, when Mashiach comes, are we talking about that? We know that the Gilui HaLakus that's going to exist at that time is primarily for the sake of the Jewish people, and the Goyim who are around at that time will kind of like be hangers-on. It's not really directly to them. They're just kind of indirect beneficiaries of it. Or is it for the Jewish people, as well as it's also meant to transform the Goyim into something greater than what they are now? So the two different opinions of it, you reflect those two different possibilities. If you say that, if you go according to the first way, it means the Goyim basically have no Metzius of their own. They're like a Vodim of the Jewish people, and an Eved that has no Metzius of his own, Kol Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi, for example, as opposed to if you say that there's going to be a Gilui HaLakus for the Jewish people, as well as a separate thing, as a Metzius of their own, you have, there's also going to be a Gilui HaLakus for the Goyim, then it means they have a Metzius of their own.
It seems there's going to be a Gilui HaLakus, because you're saying that.
And indeed, the Rebbe goes on to talk about in that sicha that we see from the way that Rambam phrases it, from the way the Alter Rebbe phrases it, we see that indeed that's how it's going to be. they're going to have their Julia Lacourse that's meant for them, not just that they get it as an overflow from us, but that they the Julia Lacourse of Mashiach's times is not just for us, and they happen to be beneficiaries of it, but that it affects them directly as well. And transforms their mitzvahs. And therefore, the Rebbe finishes off saying in the Sicha, when we say over here, you curse or you grow, we don't mean literally that they're going to be cut off and die. We mean that their mitzvahs is going to be completely transformed into something else. Just like we talked earlier in the parak about the Chad Charuv, the world being destroyed, that it doesn't mean destroyed, but it means brought to a completely different, to a completely higher level, nothing like what it is now. The same thing, you curse or you grow, means that at that time, both the Jewish people and the Goyim will all realize that they have no Metzius of their own, that the only true Metzius is the Eivishter, and that's the Yikos to Yigro, that their thought of themselves as an independent Metzius is what's going to be cut off, not their actual existence. They're not their actual bodies, their actual existence. That's good. They're going to continue to exist. Another Machlokes. Yeah.
Most people agree with that.
The Rebbe talks about that. That's it then, you know. I just summarized what the Rebbe says in the Sicha, that you curse or you grow doesn't mean that they literally get cut off and die. And that's
not just
their evil nature, but the nature that a person thinks of themselves as, I'm an independent entity. I exist, and that's it. The person is going to realize, both Jews and Goyim are going to realize at that point that kolam yivroim kolam lenimtzu elam amitesimot, that the only true Metzius is the Eivishter.
Jews realize that already, don't
they? Halavai, we realize that. We would act completely differently.
No, we realize it, but we are.
Yeah, okay. All right. Another machlokes between Reb Jechen and Reish Lakish in this connection, another pasuk that says, Ki anochi ba'alti v'chem, the Eivishter says to the Jewish people, I have shown myself to be master over you, either it means in the past or it means in the future. I will take from you one from a city, one out of every city, and two out of every family. So again, Omer Reish Lakish Dvorim Kiksavon, it means exactly what it sounds like, only that number of people are going to be zoicha to the Gerula. And again, the Eivishter does not like. Yes, as a matter of fact, we find actually if you look, for example, in Sefer Ezra, with the list of the people who returned to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, you have the cities over there. You have 100, you have 50, 100, or whatever. The mishpachas, you have it sometimes in the thousands. Because the mishpacha didn't mean like a nuclear family like nowadays of a father, mother, and a couple of kids. It meant like a whole clan of people who are descended from some common ancestor 400 years ago or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
So Reish Lakish says, Dvorim Kiksav, what is exactly what that like, only that number of people are going to be.
And again, the Eibishter doesn't like that you should talk about the Jewish people like that. Ella, what it means is faker. Echad me'ir mezaka kol ha'ir kula. One person out of a whole city can be mezaka his whole city, that they'll all be zoicha to the gula. Or shnayim mishpacha, and two people out of an entire clan of people, mezakim kol ha'mishpacha kula. They can, their schus can save the entire family. Okay, another time, Yosef Rav Kahana came to Rav. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav as a Talmud. The Yosef came and drew him to Ksavon. He wanted to say like the Shlokish, that it means exactly what it sounds like. Only Echad Be'ir, Shnayim, and Mishpacha are going to be worthy of being saved, of having the Gula. And again, Amalei Rav, and Rav said the same thing as Rav Yechanan. Le'michul le'le marayu da'amit l'rochi. The Eibishah doesn't like that you should speak negatively like the Jewish people about that. El Echad Me'ir, Mezak, Kol Ha'ir, Shnayim, and Mishpacha, Mezak, and Kol Ha'mishpacha. Same thing as Rav Yechanan said. Then, though,
very few will go.
No, there are points that are slotted, very few will be there. Even if only those that you have a story, they will say their own.
Okay. Chazia de Habakkuchayat Reshe, one time, Rav saw that Rav Kahana was washing his head, shampooing his head, at a time, Rashi says, when he should have been there learning Torah. The Solik Liyotis came to Rav, and then he comes and sits as a Talmud in front of Rav. Omalei, the Rav tells him upon it, Loi Timotse Be'eretachai. Now, the word timotze can have a double meaning. Like any time you have a verb with a tough before it in Lashon Kodesh, it can have two possible meanings. It can mean you, or it can mean she. So lo timotze be'eretz ha'chaim can mean you will not be found in Eretz ha'chaim, or it can mean she, or it, will not be found in Eretz ha'chaim. So Rav Kahana took it the first way. Are you cursing me? You're going to say that I'm not going to come to Olam Haba? Amalei, and Rav tells him, no, klokam, you know, no. What I mean is the sense in which the pasuk uses it, lo timotze Torah b'mishum machaya atzmo aleihu. You will not find Torah by a person who is machaya himself, who tries to make himself comfortable or whatever while learning it. In other words, sure, okay, you have to shampoo your hair, you have to keep yourself clean or whatever, but not at the expense of learning, not when you're supposed to be learning, is not a time to be machaya atzmo, to be trying to get comfortable. It means, in other words, exactly what it sounds like. The famous thing that Eina Torah Miskayemes, the Mishma Chay Atma Alei, other than Mishma Memes Atma Alei. A person is willing to set aside their rotten and to set aside their comfort or whatever for the sake of learning Torah. That you'll find Torah by such a person. So Rav is basically warning Rav Kahana that the way you're doing it, where you think you have to take time from learning in order to make yourself comfortable, shampoo your hair or whatever. That's what Rashi says. That Shahayal Shahayal Lemot Torah at a time when he could have been learning Torah. So Rav tells him that's inappropriate.
Maybe Mr. Shear or something.
Yeah. Okay. Tanya Rav Simoya, amen. Nemar, you have a pasuk that says the lakachti eschem lila om. The pasuk says the Eibishter tells Moshe in Parshas Va'era, I will take you to me as a people, meaning by Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'nemar v'hevesi eschem, and then the next pasuk continues, I'll bring you to Eretz Yisrael, which means makish yitziyasim v'mitzrayim v'biyasim la'aretz, which means there's a certain hekish between the coming out of Mitzrayim and the going into Eretz Yisrael. Ma bi'osam la'aretz shnayim nisamach ribo. Just like when they came into Eretz Yisrael, out of the original 600,000 people who were counted in the first census, only two people came in, namely Yeshua and Kalev. Af yitziyasam Mitzrayim shnayim nisamach ribo. The same thing, when they left Mitzrayim, only two out of every 600,000 came out. Now, on the face of it, that means there was an enormous number of Jews in Mitzrayim. Right. And some Mepharshim talk about that. One answer that's brought by a number of the Mepharshim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and some of the other Mepharshim say, it doesn't mean of the Jews who were alive right before Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're not talking about, we say, four-fifths of them died during Makkos Kleshah, but not such a huge proportion. Even according to the Medrash, that maybe it was 499 out of maybe 500 or whatever. No, what it means is of all the Jewish people who lived in Mitzrayim throughout the 210 years that they were there, you had many Jews who lived their entire life in Mitzrayim and died there. If you count them all up, and then you have the total number who lived throughout those 210 years, throughout all those generations, then you have the total number of the 600,000 who came out of Mitzrayim amounts to only two out of every 600,000 of those. Still, okay, you have some Mepharshim also say specifically what we mean is that we know two named people. I mean, we have other people who left Mitzrayim and came into Eretz Yisrael. You had Shevet Levi, you had the people who were below 20, the people who were over 60, as we learned in Rav Basra, but we only know the names specifically of two people who left Mitzrayim and came into Eretz Yisrael, namely Yeshua and Kalev. So that's what it means, in other words. That's what it means. And Omar Rav Achem Limoisa Mashiach. The same thing is going to be true. Limoisa Mashiach, that out of every 600,000, you have only two. Again, it can mean the same kind of thing. If you count up the number of Jews who lived throughout all the centuries of Golos, and you count how many Jews there are at the time when Mashiach comes, it can be that proportion. And again, some of the Poshim say that it means specifically like the ones who have particular schusim will be that small number, but you can have other people, the hangers-on, as we said before, where one person saves many other people. Marshall says, by the way, the two people who came into Eretz Yisrael are Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua from Shevet Yosef, and Kalev from Shevet Yehuda, representing Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'onsa shomati menyure." As the pasuk says, she will be poor then, like she was in her youth. At the time, like the day they came out of Mitzrayim. So just like when they came out of Mitzrayim, we're saying that only a very small number of the Jews who lived in Mitzrayim ended up coming out. The rest of them died in Golos. So it'll be lost in love. Very few of the ones who lived during the hundreds of years and during the thousands of years of Golos are going to be the ones who are alive when the Mashiach comes. Afterwards, they'll all come back right to the estimation. But we're, yeah.
And how many of the last generation?
I don't know. No, that's not.
We're talking about.
So now, compare that to the number of Jews you are now, then it would be two out of every 600,000. Tanya, Omer of the laws of Rav Yossi. The other ones died in Golos, and they will come back. Let's say it's amazing.
And about Elam Abba.
That's Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar Rav Yosi, Pam Achas Nichnasi L'Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim. One time I visited Alexandria in Egypt. Matzasi Zaken Echad. I met an old man over there. V'Amar Li, and he said to me, Boy V'Arecha Ma Osu Avoyse El Abisecha. Come, I want to show you what my ancestors did to your ancestors. Mehem tibu bayam, some of them they drowned in the water. Mehem hogu b'cherev, some of them they killed with sword. Mehem miyachu b'binyan, some of them they crushed in buildings. Marashah says it means he showed him a book where they had the ancient records that showed that this is what happened. Some of them are supposed to show it means, for example, it took him around the buildings and you could see that there
have been babies put in that. Proudly,
he could be saying it proudly. He could be saying it like, I regret that my ancestor did this. He could be saying, we have an excuse because Pare forced us to, whatever. Because of that, it's because of complaining about that, that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, that he saw that this was happening to the Jewish people, and he complained. What happened? Shenema, they have the pasuk at the end of Parashat Shemos. Moshe says, "We always bought your power to dabble b'shmecha. Ever since I came to Paray to speak in your name, Heira la'amazeh, he did evil to this people." Amalei, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Eved said to him, "Chaval the abden v'le mishtachin. What a pity about those who are lost and can no longer be found." Meaning the others. You're not like the others. Had I come upon him neglecti al Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov b'keil shakai. Many times I revealed myself to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov using the name Keil Shakai. V'loi hir haru amidaisai. They did not question my ways. V'loi amuli mashmecha. They never asked me, what's your real name? Whereas you, the first time when talking about the snare, you already asked, what's your name?
Moshe.
Yes, Moshe. Namely, amarti l'Avraham kum v'salach v'oretz l'orko l'roch v'kilacha t'nana. I told Avraham, go walk throughout the land, the length and the width of it, because I will give it to you. And yet, bikish makam l'kvar esara, and yet in this week's parasha, he wanted a place to bury sara. V'lein masaj ha'kana b'dal of mez shekel kesef. He could only find one, and he had to pay 400 shekel of silver. V'lein hirach al-midose. He never questioned my ways. How you talking? You told me that you promised me Eretz Yisrael, and now I have to pay this fortune for it. I told Yitzchak, stay, dwell in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you. His servants were looking for water to drink, and they couldn't find that Charles Mariva until they had to go through fighting with the locals. The shepherds of Gror fought with the shepherds of Yitzchak, saying the water is ours, and Yitzchak had to try several times before he finally found a well that they didn't argue about. He still didn't question my ways.
You said it before you give him water?
Yeah, he said, I'll bless you. I'll be with you and I'll bless you.
Bless you with water.
It means that I'll be on your side, basically, yeah?
No walls.
Yeah. I told Yaakov the land on which you were lying by a dream over there in Parshas Vayetze, I will give you that land. Bikish Makim Lantoya Allah, years later he wants a place to pitch his tent. Vole Matzah Jakonim Meik Sita, he couldn't find one until he had to buy one for 100 Sita. And still Vole Hir Acham Yidoyse, he still didn't question my ways. And none of them Vole Omrili Mashmecha, none of them asked me, what's your name? You started by asking, what's your name? Now you're saying you didn't save your people. Therefore, the Eved Shtah continues. What do we mean that Moshe was punished? The Eved Shtah continues. After Tira Asher Esel Paray, the Eved Shtah says, now you will see what I do to Paray, implying only now. You will get to see what happens now, how I fight against Paray. But you will not get to see the wars of the 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael. When they came into Eretz Yisrael and Yeshua and the Jewish people had to fight against 31 Goyish kings, you're not going to get to see that. Now, we usually know that the famous thing is Moshe lost the privilege to go into Eretz Yisrael after Mei Meriva, which is many, many years later. This is much earlier. Marsha says, the vote is, the Eved Shtah was saying now you're not going to get to go into Eretz Yisrael. But still, that could have been overturned with Tfila. But once it came by Mei Meriva, the Eved Shtah swore at that point that Moshe is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's it. Then Moshe knew it was irrevocable.
So this could have been changed,
but that... And Mei Meriva just sealed it, yeah.
Even after
Mei Meriva, Moshe is davening repeatedly that it should be. But Chanan and Noah didn't. He didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. That was about the Dor HaMidbar. But Moshe himself begged to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael and wasn't allowed it. But the point is, if it hadn't been for Mei Meriva, then still his tefillah would have been able to accomplish it. As opposed to after Mei Meriva, that they just foreclosed on it. Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of the Dura Midbar, there's a very famous thing, of course, that Moshe had to remain in the Midbar and be buried with them in order that, as we said, they're going to have a chelik b'olam haba. No, in order that he will lead them when it comes to Tchias Meisim, when it comes to Mashiach time, because otherwise, Taka, they would be stuck there.
Why Moshe?
A leader stays together with his people. That's the Medrash mentions it already, that at one point, the Ebishter says to Moshe, with all his pleas and all, do you think it's right that you led the whole people out of Mitzrayim and they're left in the desert and you're going to go and tell Israel, a shepherd doesn't leave his sheep, doesn't leave his flock. And Moshe conceded that you led the people in the Midbar and then they died in the Midbar and you're going to go and tell Israel and abandon them behind. And to that, Moshe agreed, Oba Zoy Taka, then yeah, I should.
No, wait a minute, that's who ended it, because they want to be buried in the desert.
There is that. Yeah, same idea.
Where
are they? All over the Midbar. Yeah.
Pass away in the Midbar.
Yeah, he did. He passed away in Har Nevo'ah, outside of Israel.
But that's on the Midbar.
It's still part of the Midbar. Beis Yishima is Adov Al Hashitim. Yeah, it's an extension of the Midbar. Yeah, it's all. It means outside of Israel. Let's put it that way. Yeah.